بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 22nd of September in the year 2017 and الحمد لله we moved on to the 130th night that we're going through the blessed life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And I'm spending, like I had promised, a few sessions taking a glimpse into a few of his blessed words of wisdom. And the last thing I mentioned were the signs which this noble man mentioned of the destructive alim or scholar. And he mentioned that his deeds betray his speech. So he will speak very eloquently, but his deeds will be the opposite of his speech. And the other sign he mentioned is arrogance. They will have arrogance. So, on the same theme, in Darimi and Mishkat, in the chapter on Ilm, Ziyad ibn Hudayr rahmatullah alayhi relates, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu once asked me, هَلْ تَعْرِفُ مَا يَحْمِدُ الْإِسْلَامَ Do you know what demolishes Islam? I answered, no. He said, يَحْدِمُهُ زَلَّةُ الْعَالِمِ The slip of a learned man. وَجِدَالُ الْمُنَافِقِ بِالْكِتَابِ The disputation of a hypocrite about the book. And وَحُكُمُ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُدِلِّينَ The rules of Imams who lead men astray. SubhanAllah. So in this report, which I think I've mentioned a few nights prior, he said these three things demolish Islam. So to reiterate, Islam is preserved by Allah the Almighty and Glorious. But demolishing here means understanding. The understanding gets lost. The first is the slip of a learned man. يَهْدِمُهُ Zallatul alim. And this is why one of the scholars said the slip of an alim is a great slip. Why? Because people follow the scholars. So if an alim of high repute makes an error, people follow that. And they will even say, do you think you know more than so and so? So note, this is something that Umar was warning about because this is destructive to Islam. That's why Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, when somebody asked him, he goes, the only one who is free from error is the one who lies in that blessed grave. And he pointed to the holy grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I.e. everybody else can fall into error. The second thing Umar radiyallahu anhu said is the wajidalul munafiqi bil kitab. The argumentation of a hypocrite about the book. The Qur'an should not be used to argue amongst ourselves. In fact, some of the companions were once clashing the Qur'an, verses of the Qur'an. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got angry. He said, was I sent for this? The people before you were destroyed when they did this. And how many times do you hear this when people say, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, so and so. Another person responds, he goes, but doesn't Allah Ta'ala also say this? What's happening? You start arguing about the Quran. Because that also destroys Islam. How? Because when people look at this, they think it's a joke. He goes, the Quran's contradicting. But does the Quran contradict? Allah the Almighty and Glorious Himself says in the Quran, if this had been from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have found many contradictions within it. The fact that the Quran is telling you that and you're actually given the impression there is some contradiction shows that you are now causing the reversal. You're making people flee from Islam. And thirdly, وَحُكُمُ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُدِلِّينَ The rule of Imams who lead men astray, i.e. the tyrants, the oppressors. The bottom line is thus simply this. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Darimi and Mishkat, in the chapter on Ilm, the worst evil consists in scholars who are evil. And the best good consists in scholars who are good. Look how beautiful. The best of the best, the Prophet ﷺ said, you will find amongst the scholars. But then he said, but the worst of the worst, you will also find amongst scholars. Astaghfirullah. Now why is that important to highlight? Because yes, you become an alim by going through a due process and you end up with a qualification. But that is just worldly sense. Why? Because how many people have got the qualification and yet the iman is weaker than even a layman? So the Prophet ﷺ said, the best can be found amongst the scholars and the worst. We beg Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the righteous and noble scholars. Ameen. In another report it mentions, in Ahmad in Zuhud is Hassan Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 9, page 188 of the English translation, Mujahid, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, someone once wrote to Umar radiyallahu, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu, who is better? A man who does not feel the desire to commit a sin and naturally does not then commit it, or a man who feels a desire, i.e. he is tempted to commit a sin but does not commit it, who is better? So let's simplify this. What's the question? So in the letter the question was this: there's two men or women, both of them have not committed sin, but there's a difference. The first person never was tempted with the sin, so naturally he doesn't commit it. For example, if you was to say, can the Salaf commit sins with mobile phones? No, because he was not accessible to them. Mm. Have you understood? So yes, they're not committing the sin, but they were never tempted by it. But then you get another person. He's got the temptation, but he doesn't. So the question is, who's better? Maybe the first one's better. Why? Because Allah has protected him. Maybe the second one's better because he was tempted, but he actually showed some extra kind of desire and passion to keep away from the haram. But they wrote the letter to who? Sayyidina Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu, he replied, the one is far better who feels a desire to commit a sin, but then does not commit it. Then he recited a verse in praise of these people. In Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 3. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. These are the ones whose hearts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested for taqwa. For them is forgiveness and an immense reward. Subhanallah. So Sayyidina Umar answered the question. What did he say? Who's better? Because the one who's tempted and doesn't commit the sin is better than the one who's never tempted and naturally doesn't commit the sin. And what is the deal? Think about that. If you're tempted and you do not transgress, this verse applies to you. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? These are the ones whose hearts Allah ta'ala has tested. So how does he test you? By tempting you. That's his test. But if you pass it, he goes, he's tested your heart and you've got taqwa. Imagine, you can actually say, Alhamdulillah, I didn't fall into that sin. I must have taqwa, Alhamdulillah. But then Allah ta'ala adds something. For these is forgiveness and an immense reward. Three atom bombs. If you keep out of the haram, one, you got taqwa. Second, Allah Ta'ala promises to forgive you. Think about that. He's promising. And he's promising you an immense reward, which can only be paradise. And all of that comes from controlling yourself from committing sin. Look how beautiful the question. And this is why Sayyidina Umar said on another occasion, radiallahu anhu, in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 1, page 215 of the English translation, there are two types of patience. Firstly, good patience, when a tribulation strikes. And secondly, an even better patience, which is whilst avoiding the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's explaining. Somebody says to you, brother, is it true that you lost your mother? Yes. You tell that person, show patience, and he shows patience. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Of course it is. Because he's showing patience upon a tribulation. Umar radiallahu anhu said, that is good patience. But beautiful patience is when you keep out of the haram. It's great. Think about that. There are two different types of patience there. And which one was he referring to when a person keeps out of the haram? The beautiful patience. This is why there's a report mentioning that the good and the bad do good deeds, but only the righteous keep out of the haram. So when people start getting obsessed with good deeds, nothing wrong with that. But when you hear a person saying this, is this forbidden? And you know he's asking because he's fearful. That's something else. This is far greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why is that far greater? Because that's the prophets. You're emulating the prophets. They did not fall into sin. Not because they could not fall into sin, but they chose not to fall into sin. This is very important with regards to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The prophets, our iman is, they are protected from sin. They can't fall into major or minor sin. But when you ask a person to explain that, they'll start saying this, and this is incorrect. They're incapable of sin. Have you heard this? If they're incapable of sin, then how can we follow them? Imagine when he says that to you. He goes, so who do we follow? You follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. Is he sinless? Yes. Can he sin? And look what we start saying, like fruitcakes. No, no, he was incapable of sin. They're going to ask you the obvious question. Well, how do you follow him then? Because you fall into sin. The mistake you've made is the prophets do not enter sin. They can commit the sin. But not once in their entire holy lives do they commit a sin. Have you understood the difference? Why is that important to highlight? Because they're our role models. So when you say holy, ma'asoom, this is what it means. They're not incapable, but they're keeping out. Have you understood? And that's why they have got all these gifts. They've got the greatest taqwa. They've secured forgiveness for whatever little lapses they've committed. And they have the greatest rewards because of that principle. So therefore, when you adopt that path, you are truly following the sunnah of the prophets. Think about that. Which sunnah are you following? This is the greatest sunnah. Keep out of the haram. Eating with your right hand, wearing a hat, mashallah, very good. Leather socks, fantastic, brother. Right? What's the biggest sunnah? And he goes, you got me there, brother. Which one is it? Keep out of the haram. All the prophets did that. And this is why Sayyidina Umar said on another occasion, in Imam Ghazali's Ihya, the greatest dhikr is simply on seeing the haram, one does not enter it. Subhanallah. The greatest dhikr is simply that on seeing the haram, one does not enter it. You ask a person, brother, who's the greatest zakirin? And they start mentioning the formulas, because the one who does the most durood sharif. No, is it? Is the one who recites most Quran? No. The one who destroys tasbih. Right? He goes, no, you're going down the wrong path. He goes, well, who's the greatest zikr? Who's the greatest dhakr? The one who keeps out of the haram. And then guaranteed they're going to say to you, who told you that? So what are you going to say? Sayyidina Umar said it. Radiyallahu. He goes, now think about that. That is zikr. When you say, brother, I'm doing what zikr? What's your zikr, brother? What zikr are you doing? Keeping out of the haram, brother. What zikr are you doing? And the guy doesn't get it. He goes, I didn't ask you about keeping out of the haram, brother. I asked you about zikr. Well, I've answered your question. What is your, you know, description of dhikr? Indeed, in one report it mentions, like I mentioned, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bukhari, in his tariqh, sahih li ghayri, the best aspect of iman is sabr and musamaha. The best aspect of iman is sabr and musamaha. This is an authentic report. So what is the best portion of your iman? Our beloved said, sabr and musamaha. What's the difference? The blessed scholars, rahimahumullah, have clarified. In this sahih hadith, sabr denotes one is patient in approaching or entering the haram, whilst musamaha refers to constantly performing one's obligatory deeds steadfastly to the end of one's life. Two types of patience. Sabr is to keep out of the haram. That's the greater patience. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, musamaha is also essential for you. What's musamaha? You keep on doing what you're supposed to do. For instance, Are you not going to pray Fajr till the day you die? Inshallah. He goes, yes. Is that sabr? The guy gets confused. He goes, no, that's steadfastness, brother. But isn't it sabr? The word the Prophet uses, musamaha. That's also very important for you. Look how beautiful. If you've got those two things, how can you fail? You're keeping out of the haram and you're steadfast with what's important for you. In another pregnant statement, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, in Hannad in Az-Zuhd, Qanzul Umal, volume 3, page 165, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 472 of the New English Translation, suffering disgrace whilst being obedient is closer to goodness than winning honor through sin. So imagine, you're sitting in a sermon of Sayyidina Umar, you switch off for a second, you missed it. That's how great a man he was, radiyallahu. So what did he just say? Guaranteed, most of you know over your head. So I'll say again. Suffering disgrace whilst being obedient is closer to goodness than winning honor through sin. So a person goes, now I've heard it, but I still don't get it. I say it a third time. Suffering disgrace whilst being obedient is closer to goodness than winning honor through sin. So what was Sayyidina Umar telling you there? For instance, how many times has Shaitan whispered to you, you are far better off not doing this? For example, keeping family ties. They are all off their heads. So what is Shaitan doing? He's reasoning with you to prevent you from an obligation. Have you understood? He's reasoning with you to prevent you from an obligation. Or another whisper. These are using the deen. Those show them you are no fool. These people are using you for their own benefit. Show them that you're no fool. I.e., what's the classic opening line for this? Does not Islam say that you should be generous to your relatives? So for instance, you go back home, some of your cousins come, and they come out with that line. Doesn't Islam say, uncle, that you should be kind to your relatives? And you know they're after money. So the shaitan immediately inject into your heart. Are you stupid? They're not bothered about sadaqah. All they want is to use you. Another example. Just lie now with your eloquence and repent later. If you speak the truth, many will get hurt. So you're in a situation and you're on the spot and you know if I speak the truth, I'm going to get hurt. A lot of the brothers are going to get hurt. Shaitan injects. He goes, lie, repent later. And all of this is referring to what Umar is saying, radiyallahu. Those that are cursed, subhanallah, this is what he's really telling you, you fruitcake. Right? You're listening to him, imagine. But this is what he's really telling you. Rabbul Alameen has put you in a no-win situation. Those, you must disobey him to readdress this. But do you ever get that whisper? That's what Shaitan does. He is the most eloquent. He is the most rational. He will do everything to make you stop you from doing good. Allahu Akbar. Are we indeed that gullible that we dare even entertain the thought that our loving Lord would ever disgrace us upon obedience? Those throughout our own short lives, there will be times when we will also have our reasons to go against the divine revelation, thinking it to be disadvantageous. Allah forbid. However, as the glorious treaty of Hudaybiyah showed to one and all, the Almighty and Glorious will never put the believers at a disadvantage, though Shaitan may try to whisper otherwise. Go back to Hudaybiyah. Who was complaining about the treaty? Umar. How interesting is that? Who did he approach first? Abu Bakr. No, he approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell him? I'm the messenger of God. I cannot disobey him. He still couldn't get it. He thought, we're at a disadvantage here. You signed a treaty which is detrimental to us. He goes to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr gives him a few, you know, proverbial slaps, wakes him up because he's the messenger of Allah. And then Umar snaps out of it. There's the example. Right? So now Umar had learned the lesson. What was the lesson? Suffering disgrace whilst being obedient is closer to goodness than winning honor through sin. Suddenly the statement opens up. You know, like barnyard doors open up like that. SubhanAllah, what did he say? So he's making statements, and you got to be saying, Shaykh, I don't understand what he's saying. I know there's something there. When you give the examples, then you get it. You are never put at a loss when you're following the deen. Yes, there may be some short-term harm that you will receive, but how on earth can you even think Allah has put you in a bad situation by obeying? Think about that. And how many times does that happen in your mind? Oh, no, no, this... Oh yeah, Al-Qazana, the prayer is better. What are you on about, astaghfirullah? I don't want people to mock deen. I'm protecting them from kufr. Because they'll start laughing at me if I pray salat. Imagine it. This is what Sayyidina Umar was teaching. What a valuable lesson he taught. He goes, I'd rather suffer disgrace being obedient than getting this so-called honor that you think from being disobedient. How beautifully did Sayyidina Umar sum up this most important matter? Imagine. This is why these statements of his, you should live your lives according to this. Let me give you an example of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Ibn Abi Dunya, he goes, speak the truth. Because the ultimate success lies in it. So the wording is interesting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually telling you that sometimes when you speak the truth, it will harm you. But then he says, but don't look at the short-term benefit. Look at the end result. The end result is you'll be honored. Think about that. And how many times do we lie because we think we're better off lying now? If I tell the truth here, this is disastrous. The only time the Sharia gives you that license is under jihad. And of course, we understand that. You're caught by the enemies. And you say, and they ask you, where is your commander? You don't say, well, I've got to speak the truth in it, success lies in it. You've just given up the coordinates of the Muslims. So obviously, common sense, certain times, Allah allows it. Why? Because out of necessity. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about just silly things, when people just lie for no reason. Astaghfirullah. And that's why this is a sign of hypocrisy. Why? It's a very deep statement. Because you're doubting that Allah has put you in a bad condition by obeying him. Astaghfirullah. And one more to finish. So this narration again, Sayyidina Umar saying few words, but they have deep meaning. So in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 4, page 417, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 174 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Umar, he said, radiyallahu, when I arrive or when I come to the conveyance of gratitude, and the conveyance of patience, I don't care which of the two I write. So note again, he's doing it again. You switch off, you missed out on it. Not just a little thing, a monstrous matter, right? He's deferring to. So note, his conciseness is like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's making statements. And only when you open those statements up, you realize how valuable are these statements coming from this great man. So what did he say? When I come to the conveyance of gratitude and the conveyance of patience, I don't care which one I write. So a person goes, can you explain that? The following narration helps to clarify. In Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 7-283, Amr ibn al-Sakan rahmatullah alayhi relates, I was with Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayh. So Sufyan ibn Uyayna is a tabi'in. He's from the era of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. So this man was with Sufyan ibn Uyayna from the tabi'in. When a man from the people of Baghdad, he stood up in Iraq and he said, O Abu Muhammad, what do you think of the saying of Mutarrif, rahmatullah alayh, that I should be at ease and grateful is more beloved to me than I should be tested and patient. Is that thus the more beloved to you, or the statement of his brother who said, Abu al-Ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am pleased for myself that which you are pleased for me. So simply put, a very pertinent question was asked to Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And they asked him out of respect, they go, Shaykh, which one is the better statement? They're both excellent, but we don't know which is better. The first statement is, I want to be in ease and I want to do shukr. That's more beloved to me than being tested and showing patience. Is that more beloved, or is the other statement more beloved? Where the Shaykh mentioned, Oh Lord, whatever you do for me, I am pleased. Now if I was to ask you which one's a better statement, I would say, you know, I would think it's got to be the second one. Because the second one is you're leaving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am pleased for myself, that which you are pleased for me. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he remained silent for a long time. He suddenly said, the saying of Mutarrif is more beloved to me. The first statement, because that's more beloved to me. So the man was shocked. He goes, how can that be, whilst this one is pleased for himself with that which Allah Ta'ala is pleased with for him? He says, how can you, a'udhu billah, even contemplate the first statement better? So Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he answered, rahmatullah alayh, I have read the Quran. So that counts as that, right? I have read the Quran. And I found the description of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that in spite of the great ease he had, he was described. Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 30. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ni'mal 'abd innahu awwab, an excellent slave, he was off-turning I to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the first thing Sufyan ibn Uyayna said? He goes, we all know how much he was given, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. He was given everything. You know, we can only dream about what he was given, a kingdom that nobody will have after him. Despite that, in that state of ease, Allah Ta'ala didn't diminish his status. He said, he's an excellent servant. He was turning to me often. That's the first statement he made. Then Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, I have also read the Quran. And I found the description of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, that in spite of the great test he faced, he was described, Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 44. نعم العبد إنه أواب, an excellent slave, he was off turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stop in the court. Was there a difference in the two holy prophets in the way that Allah Ta'ala described them? No. Second question, was there a difference in how they were tested? How was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam tested? With ease. Allah Ta'ala called him an excellent servant. He often turned to me. How was Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam tested? 18 years he was ill. Hadith in Abu Ya'la Sahih. 18 years. Serious illness. Lost his wealth, lost his health, lost his family. After all that sabr, Allah Ta'ala gave him the same title. Then Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, rahmatullah alayh, both descriptions are equal. Whilst one is in ease, the other is being tested. Therefore, I find gratitude has the same status as patience. Therefore, I find that gratitude has the same status as patience. Thus given, they are both equal. Ease accompanied by gratefulness is more beloved to me than a test accompanied by patience, for it is easy upon you. Look how beautiful. He's not only answered the question, he looked, that's why he was thinking, because there was a long pause. He was playing the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala describes both these holy and noble messengers and prophets alayhi salatu wasalam with the same title. But somebody goes, I'm a bit confused. Ayyub should have got a special attention, a special status. Nothing special. Just like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. The problem is not the Quran, the problem is you. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you there that if you are showing gratitude in ease, that's just as good as being tested and showing patience. But then you ask a person, which one do you want? He said, brother, I don't want to get tested. I want ease. However, now this is important. This is a fine point to finish. It is very informative that although our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his two illustrious prophets identically, that is true, alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions the trait of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam before mentioning some of the divine gifts bestowed upon him. But with Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions the trait after his tribulation has ended. Have you understood? Allah Ta'ala describes them both with those beautiful traits. Ni'm al-abd, innahu awwab. But he mentions about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam before mentioning anything about him. So it's like a narrative. He gives that first, then he mentions the gifts. But when he's talking about Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he doesn't say that. He mentions the hardships he goes through. Then right at the end, he mentions that. So there's a difference. Does Allah Ta'ala do things out of forgetfulness? Astaghfirullah. Why has he done that in the Quran? Why at the beginning for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, at the end of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But maybe this hints to the fact that gratitude needs to be expressed quickly and then persistently. I.e. for with regards to one's blessings, one could take them for granted and then lapse into ingratitude. But patience only takes place upon the onset of a trial and of course at the very end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Look how amazing. The Quran, if you study the Quran as you ought to study it, it blows you away. Okay. I didn't even realize that. Why is he doing that? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you are given ease, he wants you to show gratitude immediately. No point, when you lose it. For example, a person falls ill and he's, oh, Ya Allah, thank you for help. You're ill now. Now you're thanking him. So the Quran's hinting to that. Because he was always thanking, always. That's why he was given. But with Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he waits. Goes through the 18 years of suffering. Then at the end he goes, excellent servant. Meaning, he gives you scope there. Because you're a human being, you can show weakness in times of being tested. So he allows you. But as long at the end you show that beautiful sabr, Allah Ta'ala will accept it. However, there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, patience is shown at the first strike of calamity. What does that mean? It means as soon as you are tested, you hear some test or tribulation, that's the point you show patience. If you do it after, it's diluted. For instance, somebody comes rushing through the door, gives you devastating news. Imagine, at that point, this is how you react. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And you show sabr. That is beautiful patience. Another person reacts, can't believe it, what's happened? Hey, oh, yeah, what's happened? And then 5 minutes into it, he goes, oh, inna lillahi. He's not the same. That is true. But Allah Ta'ala allows that because you're human beings. You're weak. So note here. So let's go back to the statement of Umar. What did he say to finish? Now look, I'll open up. When I come to the conveyance of gratitude and the conveyance of patience, I don't care which of the two are right. Allahu Akbar. Look at the statements of Sayyidina Umar. He goes, if you could make them into horses, one's patience, one's gratitude, I'm not bothered. They're both just as good as, I'll go on the gratitude one, I'll go on to the patience one. And that shows his strength. Because the Tabatabi'in said, well, I'll go on the ease one, gratitude one. But Umar was stronger. So no statements of the great man, but very important lessons you extract from the sayings of the glorious Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu. So all I mentioned today, again, was a few blessed words of wisdom from the great Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu. And note, If you can get these qualities into your life, you will certainly be amongst those who are successful by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa rasibul haqq wa rasibus sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.